Well, good day everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is our live weekly prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening on First Amendment Radio or however you might be listening on our prophecy reality app, come on over to the chat room if that's convenient for you at First Amendment Radio. .com or .net. Click on the chat button there and join us. And I'm actually live on video. Got the video cam on, and there's a small YouTube screen there in the right-hand column of the chat room. So would like to hear from you. First hour, we're just going to do news items. So I hope to hear from you, and maybe you'll have something to contribute. Second hour, we're going to jump back into part 12 of the history of apocalyptic interpretation. So you want to stick around for that and see how, the interpretation of the book of Revelation primarily, or any apocalyptic interpretation developed over the centuries since John wrote the Revelation. And very eye-opening. We're getting to, let's see, where are we getting in that? Let me take a look here. I think I still have that loaded up here somewhere. Oh, yes, we do. Period 5, the era and century of the Reformation. And so you want to see how things developed during the Reformation and got us to the historicist interpretation as the biblical interpretation. An interpretation that we take our cue from the Bible. The Bible demonstrates a historical interpretation of prophecy, and that only makes sense because prophecy being history in advance, well, should be fulfilled in history. So we follow the line of history, see what has been fulfilled, see who discovered it as time went on, and how close we are and where we're at, what we can expect next. That's what historicism is all about. That's why it is the only verified method of interpretation. The futurists, they don't have to verify nothing. It's all out in the future. It's all speculation as to how it's going to happen. We know that what God said would happen will happen. But see, the futurists, they ignore any prophecy that's been fulfilled in the last 2,000 years, and they put it all off in the future where they can speculate on all of it and nobody can prove them wrong. How convenient for them. The burden is they have no burden of proof at all whatsoever. All of the burden is on the historicist to show what has been fulfilled, and we talk about that quite a bit here. Let me check the chat room here. I know I've got a chat tab open here somewhere. One of these tabs. I think that's the one there. Oh, let's see. Who do we have here? Fireman Mike, Far Out WW, and Dale have joined me chat room. Good morning. Good to see you all here. Let's see. I got a... let's start with this. I got an email from Tom. And he knows who he is, and he sent me an email to a document here, and this document is called Potential Policy Proposals for Regulation of Social Media and Technology Firms. Now, he tells me in the email, maybe you can talk about this on your show tomorrow. Well, I perused this document, and I am in no way authorized, but qualified to really talk about this document. Because it is so comprehensive, 23 pages. And here, let me put this on the screen for those the benefit of those watching the broadcast. Here we go. I'm really going to do it this time. Last week, I said I'm going to put things on the screen and forget to push the second button over there. But anyway, here you can see it. White paper draft, Senator, U.S. Senator Mark R. Warner. I don't know which state he's from or what he is, but... this is fairly draconian, and there's been a lot in the news about what's happening, like with what's that guy's name, Jesuit. Oh, Alex Jones. Now I got it. Hey, my brain finally clicked. I was having a teenage moment there. Sorry about that. But yeah, but Alex Jones. So he's kind of in the news on the First Amendment. And looks like somebody's going to take me up on the call in here. Let me grab my phone here and say, your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike, Akron, Ohio. You got it. You said it right before I called, Alex Jones.
Yeah. Like I said, sometimes I have a teenage moment. Well, what do you think? Have you heard anything about all that that's going on? And this, what is this on YouTube or Twitter or both or what?
On YouTube, that's about the only. I don't even understand Twitter.
Yeah, I know they took True News down a couple months ago, but they let him back on. So.
M. Lord and God is gone. Alex Jones, Paul Sandhu. I really enjoyed his stuff.
I never heard of him. Oh.
Yeah, I just I get around quite a bit, you know. Others, all conservative, all religious.
Yeah.
Well, Alex Jones isn't exactly religious, but I know he believes in God. But anyway, yep, I was calling to tell you the guy's name, and you said it right before you.
Okay, well, feel free to call in if you want to add anything else, if you got any other news articles or anything. I appreciate it when people email me stuff so I'm ready with something, at least for this first hour to fill in. Because it's just overwhelming. I'm just way too busy, and sometimes I get up here and I almost got nothing, man. All right, I appreciate the call, Fireman Mike.
Okay, pal, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye. Anyway, there you got it. Alex Jones is the guy. And on the news, just before the broadcast, they were asking the question about, does anybody know the Bill of Rights, or what five enumerated rights are in the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. And of course, I can't say I know them exactly, but I know it's freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of association, freedom to redress government, and freedom of religion. I think those are, did I get those five right? Yeah, I think those are the ones. But see, the Bill of Rights is the, nobody knows this, but it is the Protestant document, and the only really Protestant document that has anything to do with our government. And it was added to the Constitution, which I call the con of a Constitution. The Constitution came 10 or so years after the Articles of Confederation, which were fine. They should have just left it there, the Articles of Confederation, and they should have just had their little American Treaty Organization, which is what the Articles of Confederation was. It was just a treaty of mutual defense, basically, and a few other things. But they had to come along with the Jesuit-inspired Constitution, and I'll tell you what, if they hadn't got those Bill of Rights attached to it, the Protestant Bill of Rights attached to it, and I'm only talking about the 10 original amendments, the ones that came after that, stripped some of the rights away of the independent states, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, the kind of the Constitution, to talk about that, it was actually, it was its primary purpose was to concentrate power in Rome, which was the name of the place where they put Washington, D.C. in historical records, actually called Rome. Then the Potomac was called the Tiber, because it was a little Rome, and there were several Catholic, very wealthy Catholic families that contributed the land for Washington, D.C. And right now, really, where all policy or most policy is developed in Washington, D.C. is Georgetown University. Yeah. Then that is a Jesuit university there, and it's very, very Catholic. Antichrist, began to take over America the day that the Constitution was ratified and forced onto the people, and the con of the Constitution. I talk about that in several articles on my website. I think one of the primary ones for understanding how that all works and with the Antichrist takeover of America, is that was the beginning of the Antichrist takeover in the New World to build his New World Order. Now, the New World Order, as opposed to the Old World Order, which was the one you read about in the Bible, that that beast with seven heads and ten horns, that was the Old World Order, the Roman Empire. Yeah, the New World Order is based in Washington, D.C., the concentration of power there in Washington, D.C., not one of the states of the United States of America, but a separate city-state. And that article on my website, and if you go to my website, here it is right here in the top. I've highlighted some of my articles here, and you can see right here the empire of the city, the unholy trinity that rules the world. So do check out that article. Very telling. And you know that F. Tupper Saucy, he wrote a book about 10, 15, he wrote it really in the end of the 1990s, and it was called Rulers of Evil. And I've been thinking seriously about writing a book like that. And more along the lines of this, though, but going over some of the history and looking and researching some of his research. But he really didn't have a lot of footnotes in his book. I wish he had, which so I could look on that, but I guess it's a good place to start on the research. And the Antichrist takeover of America and the New World Order. Because the New World Order, like I said, this is the New World. And the Old World is the European theater. This is the New World, and the New World Order is based here in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is the headquarters of the New World Order, and really it's the military headquarters of the unholy trinity that rules the world, the three city-states, the Vatican, the financial district of London, which is a separate city-state, don't be fooled, and Washington, D.C., the three separate city-states. There you have it. And so anyone has any ideas, any articles on how the Antichrist is taking... I mean, it is so obvious, especially what they're doing today and what they're doing around the world. If you listen to Chris Pinto, who's played on First Amendment Radio regularly here, he's been talking about what's happening in South Africa and what happened in Rhodesia that turned into Zimbabwe, and how they're now reappropriating the land. And they're trying to do the same thing here in America with the invasion of the Spanish-speaking people. Of course, the question is, why do these people speak Spanish? Well, because they're not really Mexicans, but because Mexican was invaded and taken over by the Catholic Spain on behalf of the Vatican. So they say one thing while they practice another thing, and they deceive people into believing one thing when another thing is true. And this is how the Antichrist works, and his deceptions and his great delusions. And I'm not afraid yet here in America. In California, where I'm doing my broadcast from, and where I spend most of my life here on the land in California, of a Mexican takeover, but California is now becoming primarily Hispanic. And I think we may be at the tipping point where white people. Like, I guess because I'm white, but it's because I'm European origin, and Irish, Germanic, and Polish in my ancestry. So I guess that makes me so-called white. And, but no one ever gave me anything. I worked for everything I have. But most of my Hispanic neighbors, and some of them, were born in Mexico. And they're very nice people. Some of them are Catholic, and some of them are evangelicals. But very few of them are Protestant. So, I mean, things could change and turn quickly here in America. But I don't think we're at that tipping point yet. But if things keep going the way they're going, well, we could be at that tipping point. They hate this president because of his stance against the Catholic invasion in America. It's not against the Catholic. He's just into the whole alien invasion. He's against that kind of thing. He doesn't see it for what it really is. He is very Zionist in his leaning, because of family ties and the evangelicals that he's under the influence of. But the gospel gets preached regardless. And hopefully Trump has come to a point in his life where he can repent and be baptized in the name of Christ and really experience a true repentance. I would not expect to see and much maturity in the few years that he's in his Christian walk. As a matter of fact, I would expect to see little maturity. And the only reason for that is because the man is now overburdened with the weight of governing America. And that's, you got to admit, that would be quite a burden. And, plus he has to cope with the deceitfulness of riches and the deceitfulness of power, too. And then all of the voices that he has to hear and put up with, you know, having to make decisions based on opinions of people who are entrenched, many Jesuits, many Catholic or Antichrist institutions around him, and Antichrist voices are mostly what he's going to hear. And, you know, I kind of think if I was in his place, I don't know that I would do much better than he's doing if, like I said, I were actually in his place and just started to conceive of what the gospel really means and what kind of morality a Christian should be living. Anyway, so I pray for a soul and I pray for this country. I really do. Well, because we have a lot of problems and I don't think there's any way it's going to get better or turn around. So my job as a servant of God is to reach out to the elect, whether they know who they are or not, to reach out to all people. Really, every minister of the gospel has a twofold ministry. And really, one fold of it is heavier, is a heavier burden than the other. The one, we preach to the elect, and a few hear our voice, and they are edified or fed, whatever our small part as God's servant is in the life of any of the elect out there. We get to do that gladly and sometimes see the results of that, because God is gracious enough to show us what he is doing through our feeble attempts, and that he's pleased to work through us at all is just amazing to me. And I give him all the glory if anything good comes out of anything that I'm doing. So that's, you know, that's one half, that's one fold of our ministry, and probably the most important part is to reach the few. But unfortunately, the other half of our ministry is a ministry unto condemnation for those who are not elect, because they need to hear the word. They need to know it. They need to be convicted of their sin. But it's for their condemnation, unfortunately. And that's a very sad thing, especially when it gets to people that are close around you, people that you actually love, and you want them so bad to come out of their rejection of the gospel, whether their rejection of the gospel is to, what's the word I'm looking for? atheism, paganism, whatever, or whether it's to apostasy. The apostasy part is demonstrated as the many in the visible church on earth. Jesus outlines both of these in Matthew chapter 7 on his dissertation, quite lengthy dissertation. I call it On the Few and the Many. I attended a local Baptist church here this weekend, and the preacher was teaching on that. And they even preach from the King James Version of the Bible, but he said the most frightening verse in the Bible, and he was referring to the words of Jesus, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." That would be frightening to hear. Now, last week I posted my broadcast or segment in which I, it's on my website here. Let me scroll down to it, put this on here. And oops, that's a notification this morning. I hope everybody's enjoyed that one. But last week I did California on Fire, Judgment on Reading Apostates. And a lot of people taking, not taking that very kindly, especially those that are caught up in this apostasy and delusion that these people are under and spreading abroad in their church there at Reading. Anyway, we can talk a little bit more about that, some other things, when we return from this break. You're listening Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur, and this is our Prophecy Reality Edition. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Welcome back. You listen to Across the Border, it's our Prophecy Reality Edition. And when we left, we were talking about the California fires. Right now, two fires that were apart joined each other and has now become, I think, one of the largest fires in California history. Yes, it's quite smoky here, even where I'm at, even though the fire is quite a distance away from me. Any part of California could ignite at any time. I'm in the foothills here, not in a forested area though. These are all bare grass foothills. The grass could catch fire and burn at any time, but that's not as scary as being in a wooded area where the fire goes up and it's just near impossible to put out and control as fast as it goes up. So, a lot of people are caught up into this delusion that we're talking about the church at Reading there and their apostasy. And, if you want to learn just very little research, you can bring up. And I have some links on my website in that article there in the comments section. And you can check out their style of apostasy and do your own research. And that they are not Reformed Christians at all. They are totally apostate. And anyone who's a biblical Christian, who believes that God's Word is primary in sola scriptura, could not endure attending in that church and continuing there. So you want the young, dumb, ignorant people there. And that's what they feed on. They're akin to the Catholics, They don't want anybody really reading the Bible, unless it's a controlled study where they indoctrinate them in what they want them to see the Bible say. And that's how they do it. Anyway, anyone can research that for themselves if they want to. Let's see, what else do we got going on? Let me check the chat room here and see if anyone's got anything to say. Carrie Ann just joined the room. Good to see you, Carrie. Thank you for your support. Thank all of you for your support. I appreciate it. And thank you for the sound check there, WW. Okay, yes, one of the most unpopular broadcasts on YouTube right here. So I don't have to worry about my $1.2 million subscribers being lost. Because I don't have that, Betty. I think there's some kind of algorithm to keep shows like mine from showing up, in suggested video section or something. I don't know what it is, but because I know these people can go on here and make stuff up, especially futurists, or make up a new thing. Or like, you got a lot of people becoming famous, very famous, and enjoying their fame by predicting the return of Jesus every month, next month. Seriously. These people are out there. And they could start a YouTube channel and get, 10,000 subscribers in a year and all kinds of acclaim and, 100 people watching their video anytime they go live, simply because, because that's what's popular in the world. Yeah, I have to say it. It's popular and I'm not. And, that's fine with me. Because if the many loved me, I would be really worried. It's not to say, that God hasn't chosen a few men with Reformed thought to prosper and do better than others. Simply maybe, because God has given them whatever special dispensation or to be able to handle that. And I guess I'm just not that person, okay? For whatever reason, but who am I to question the Almighty? He pays my bills, so that means I should just keep doing what I'm doing, regardless of my lack of popularity, notoriety, or whatever. Yeah, we're all, I'm just a man, just like all other men out there. I would like to see a little more, a lot more actually, response to the work I'm doing here, but, okay. My first job is obedience to the Almighty. And the results belong to him, not to me. Because when I put the results first, well, I could become like Bill Johnson there at Reading. So looking into him a little bit and what he wanted to do. He wanted revival. He wanted to bring revival so bad that, you know, he made that his primary object, not the gospel. And so he's going to stand before Jesus one day and he's going to tell Jesus how he brought revival. And those frightening words are going to be said to him, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." You know, maybe if he repents, and I pray that he does, you know, despite all of the accusations against me about enjoying the suffering of others and so forth for taking my stand, I take no joy in it whatsoever. You know, someone commented on my this article here. I'll show you that here. Yeah, this one here. And they said to me, Nathan said, "I'm a little surprised with your tone today, Nicholas. You seem almost gleeful that they're experiencing this terrible event. I know you don't like Bethel Church, but they do produce some great Christian music. Their theology is off in many things, anything that's important things. But I don't know, I would call it all complete apostasy, since you're on the topic of Pentecostal." Okay. It says, "Regarding the punishment California experienced, how can you be sure that it is a direct punishment and not just a natural phenomena that California experiences on a regular basis? Just asking for some clarification." So I tell him, "Well, with your comment, I had to rewatch the video, because if I came across as joyful at the calamity of others, I would have to pull the video and repent in sackcloth and ashes myself. But I see no glee whatsoever in my handling of the Reading event church segment. Yes, they do produce wonderful and seductive music, but so does the world. And many are seduced by the emotional aspect of what the music makes them feel. But wonderful music is not a fruit of the Spirit. Most great artists are pagans and apostates." And I put a link here to, I don't even want to watch this video again. And it's just horrible to watch this. You may not even want to watch this terrible, terrible video. This poor guy being demon-possessed by one of their witches that come into the Bethel Church and practices her witchcraft there. Anyway, you can see that there. I tell him, "God is in charge. What is his merciful judgment is also a call to repentance. The same fire and rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Jesus said to us, 'In this life you will have tribulation,' and I have felt the effect of God's judgment on California for many years. I breathe the smoke from the fires and suffer loss from the long, long droughts. I'm not laughing. We all suffer, but as God's people, we remember Romans 8:28 and continue in prayer for God's kingdom to come. And I also continue in prayer for people like Bill Johnson and all of those related apostates of the New Apostolic Reformation, with all of their new revelation, and going beyond God's word. And I felt the effect very close to home here." And I'm not going to go into details there, but believe me, I felt the effect very close to home in my own family and a lot of friends, people that families and lives have been destroyed by this apostasy. But God in his mercy allows us to feel the effects of our choices, and that goes for all of us. Even as David suffered for his sin, he remained a man after God's own heart. So we all remain, even though we suffer the effects of the apostates around us and the judgment that is on this nation. Yeah. We keep our eye on the prize regardless. And we remember Romans 8:28, "All things work together for those that love God." And there are a lot of people led astray. There are probably even the elect in some of these churches that are going this apostate direction, are already gone there, and they're sticking it out. And God calls them. He says, come out of her, my people. Yeah. So we know that his people, some of his elect, that is, are even in these apostates church and in the great Antichrist church, that great apostasy spoken of by Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, well, check the chat room one more time, see if you get any comments or questions or anything there. Yeah, but the music is so sweet. Yes, it is. And you know, just look up apostate Bethel music. Look up the School of the Supernatural, you know, where they teach people how to fake heal. I've seen this stuff. I've actually seen it with my own eyes. I know what they're doing. And it is abominable. And it is just, I mean, just think of it. I mean, for any Reformed Christian, that is, someone who's turned back to apostolic Christianity, yeah, the preached by the true apostles of God's word, not the new apostles of the new apostolic reformation. You'd be grieved just to hear that there is such a such thing by a church as the School of the Supernatural. Just how anti-Holy Spirit, just calling a school that is. But they've got it up there at Reading, the School of the Supernatural. They teach how to fake heal. I've seen what they teach them. I know what they're teaching them. They're teaching them Benny Hinn-style healing and other fake healers that go around the country, fake healing people. There is a method to it. There was a, saw some guy put some YouTube videos on. He did a broadcast, did an expose. The guy was not a preacher, but he hired some actors and stuff, and he went around the country putting on little shows using the methods that the fake healers use, but then owning up to it with all the people that got involved. And he did some shows on that. You'll probably find that on YouTube if you look it up. Fake healing broadcast or exposed, expose or whatever, you'll find those. And he did a whole series of them going around the country to several large cities and putting on these fake healing shows using the very same methods that they teach at the School of the Supernatural. Yeah, seriously. Believe it or not. Well, you can believe it if you'll search it out for yourselves. If you're caught up in it, like a lot of people that are attacking me now are caught up in it, and calling me all kinds of names, there's no glee and there's no joy in saying the things I'm saying. I just pray for them to repent so that they don't have to hear those horrible words from Jesus. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Yeah. I don't want anyone to hear those words, but unfortunately, Jesus is not a liar, and he says the many, even in the visible church on earth, even in the visible church on earth, are those that call themselves Christians and claim to be followers of Jesus. Whether they are or not, they are the visible church on earth. And Jesus says, the many, and that means more than half, that at least means more than half of the make up the many, because many is more than few. And if narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, well, even in the church, the many are going to hear those terrible words. But you know, Jesus isn't really going to even have to say those words. Because at that moment, when they see him, they'll know what he knows, and the words won't even make it out of their mouth. They'll just know that he knows, and they'll know even as they are known, that they never were for him or his kingdom. They were only for themselves. Yeah, either for power or whatever they could get, riches, whatever they could get out of Jesus, whatever they could get by using the name of Jesus. Just like the original Simon of the book of Acts. Yeah, Simon the magician, who, by the way, moved to Rome and started a Catholic church. They called him Simon Pater. Yeah, Father Simon. Mm-hmm. And he was really the first pope in Rome. Yeah. Of course, then later on they made up that Petrine theory. I got an two-part article about that. You can check that out on my website. Just scroll down or put Petrine in the search box there and you'll find it. Debunking the Petrine, the Catholic Petrine theory. And another article that I have on that is Lest We Forget What We Protest, going back right back to the beginning. And his desire to buy the power, the secret magic that the apostles were using, because he was a magician. He learned secrets and he used them to gain control over people, to have power over them. And he wanted to buy the power that the apostles had. Now, we saw how Peter rebuked him. Yeah. And, well, unfortunately, he never did repent, and he went off to start a church, a universal church in Rome. And it's become very big today. Yeah. The original, Simon Pater, Father Simon. Yeah. Don't believe that Simon Peter was the first pope. Lie. It's all historical. We have verified. It's been verified throughout history, and I've been learning more and more. You can read about some of that in the History of Apocalyptic Interpretation, how some of the historical expositors of the Revelation tell the same story that I'm telling you today about Simon Pater or Simon Peter. Simon the Sorcerer, and the false Petrine theory of the Vatican. Okay. Let's see. The music is so sweet. Let's take a look at some news items, see if we got anything else. UNRWA under attack. Trump tries to destroy a Palestine achievement to force a deal. Trump with his son-in-law and daughter, who he's assigned as his liaison or chief guy over there for Mideast peace. They're trying to force something over there and get something. And they may get something going. And I just, pray that, well, we know that whatever happens, God allows. So with the Zionist Christians, so-called Christian Zionists, and so-called Jewish Zionists over there, and I guess are the British Zionists and the whole British Israel Zionist plan going on over there. I believe it's really the Antichrist plan, because, well, the Antichrist does rule the world. The Bible told us that would happen. Of course, the futurists, they believe in the Counter-Reformation lie, that the Antichrist didn't show up when he did show up with the great apostasy, around the 6th century, and ruled for 1260 years until he was judged, just as the scripture said he would be judged, about the time of the breakout of the French Revolution, how he was wounded. And then, of course, he's regaining and has regained power since then. The deadly, so-called deadly head wound, or wound as it were to death, so that he could rule behind the scenes, has been healed, and he is fully in charge. Because I'd read that article of mine to begin to get a clue. The city of the empire, the unholy trinity that rules the world. And then you'll have a clue as to what's going on and how the Antichrist has gained inroads. I mean, Europe is just being destroyed. The Christian European world has been destroyed. I mean, they're even tearing down the only Protestant nation, the one that broke away when the so-called tenth of the kingdom fell away from the papal empire. England, the British Isles, are going totally apostate, but so is America. Yeah, going totally apostate. Of course, that being the old world, the success has been greater there in time, but it's still working over here, because the Antichrist does rule the New World Order, out of Washington, D.C. So it's the Antichrist takeover of the world and of America is moving along, is progressing just nicely as the scripture said it would. The three frogs that were loosed upon the sixth vial to work up until the consummation, or have been working since the outbreak of the French Revolution, and the croaking is getting louder and louder and louder and louder, and it's drowning out everything else. So we're not surprised when we see all of these things happening. We're not surprised because the scripture, the revelation, God foretold us they would happen. So the croaking gets louder and louder from every place, from every legislature, from every country on earth. Where can you go? Well, you can only go into the kingdom of God. And you don't. The border is called repentance. Jesus. And this is the gospel that they don't preach at Reading or any of these apostate church. And the gospel of Jesus Christ goes like this. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And that's why I call my ministry Cross the Border, because I'm calling all of God's people to cross the border, to repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's how you cross the border into His kingdom. And once you cross the border into His kingdom, it's up to you to stay there. And but see, God is not a tyrant. There are no crossing boards. You don't need a visa. The only visa is repentance or whatever, a passport or whatever. But you can leave anything, anytime you want. If you don't like the kingdom of God, because a lot of people taste of the liberty in Christ, they taste of it, but they leave it behind. They leave it for the deceitfulness of riches. The enemy steals the word of their hearts by the trials of this life, or the unpopularity of preaching like I preach, because of not getting enough YouTube hits or whatever. No popularity and money in it. So they go after the riches of this life, or the trials of this life pull them away, or the deceitfulness of riches, or, you know, the lusts of the flesh. You know, all of us as God's people, we have to deal with these things. But the key is repentance. You know, the righteous man falls down seven times, but he gets back up every time. The wicked, well, they fall down a few times and they give up and they just wallow in their sin, or they chase after whatever it is that they fell into and they forget all about eternal life. But the enemy is whispering lies in their ears, and they follow new revelation as you get in the new apostolic reformation, and they believe in lies that they're going to go to heaven when they die. But Jesus never said, repent so you can go to heaven when you die. He said, repent for the kingdom is at hand. So I bid everyone everywhere to cross the border into the kingdom of God and live forever. And when you're in His kingdom, submit to His law. And if you fail, if you fall down, get back up and submit again. And keep repenting. Keep changing your mind about the things that violate God's law. Because the King is alive and He has a kingdom. And He wants you. And to live forever, because He will raise us up at the last days. So fix your eyes on the prize and never let anything take you away from it. There is absolutely nothing more important. May the Almighty bless each and every one of you as you continue walking in His kingdom each and every day.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.